When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Blog Talk Radio.
To the podcast. We are joined today by UFC star or up-and-coming star, Randy Brown. Randy Brown, welcome for joining us.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, guys?
Glad to have you. Randy Brown is one of the newest UFC newcomers. He's Randy Rude Boy Brown, 7-0 in the MMA, 1-0 in the UFC. For those of you who would like to call in if you want, 213-943-3517. Follow us on social media at MyMMA News or at Carol's Corner. And find me on Twitter at Giblitz77, J-I-B-L-I-T-Z-77. First off, Randy, congrats on your win and your UFC debut.
Thank you very much, my man.
Can you tell us how it feels to win your first? You got your first fight out of the way. You won your first fight. Unanimous decision. Can you tell us how it feels?
It feels great. You know, it's kind of bittersweet. You know, I thought that was someone that I definitely should have finished. You know, I was definitely looking for the finish, but it was a tough one. You know, that dude was really tough and wasn't my best performance. But you know, it feels good just knowing that I got the first one out the way and I got the W. So that's all good.
Now, were there any nerves going into the fight? I'm sure, like a big stage in Newark. You probably had family and friends in the stands. Any nerves entering the fight?
Oh man, people ask me this almost every day. You know, no nerves, man. I don't know. Obviously I get nervous. You know, it's the regular stuff. You know, like I'm nervous before every fight. You know, I'm nervous backstage, nervous. You know, right before I go out and fight. You know, I'm gonna fight another man that's gonna try to basically kill me. You know, so. You know, I'm nervous in that sense, but not because it's the UFC and UFC jitters or anything like that. But you know, I thought I dealt with that pretty well. But yeah, regular stuff. You know, once I stepped in the cage, all the nerves were gone, and I was there to do battle. You know, just small things that don't usually happen on the smaller shows while you're in there. Those little things kind of mess with you a little bit, but nothing crazy.
All right. Do you have a background in martial arts before you started training in MMA? Do you have like a wrestling or a Brazilian jiu-jitsu background? Like, how did you get into it?
Actually, I started off boxing. I've been boxing since I was about 15 years old. And after boxing, I kind of jumped into some Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And once I did jiu-jitsu, that kind of just led me into wrestling and then led me into MMA. And here I am today, Like, I'm kind of just doing everything,
Awesome, that's awesome. It appears like in the, when you're inside the cage, you move well, you throw a lot of good, solid kicks, and looks like you have a pretty strong ground game, so looks like you're a pretty well-rounded fighter. What gym do you train out of, and who's your head trainer, who do you work with? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I train at Budokan Martial Arts Academy in Long Island. I train with Henzo Gracie Black Belt Sensei Nardu Dabra. I'm out in Long Island, so I kind of get around with all the guys really out in Long Island. You know, my head instructor in my main spot is Budokan Martial Arts Academy, but my brother Andre Harrison, he's a Titan FC champion, and he's from Belmore Kickboxing Academy, so I'm always at Belmore. It's like, always down there mixing it up with those dudes. I'm all over, man. I'm at Henzo Gracie Academy in the city, So that's pretty much where I kind of just bounce around.
Awesome. Now, I saw you in your open workout for the UFC before your fight. You were doing the jump rope, and you were pretty impressive on the jump rope. Is that a huge part of your training and your footwork? Because I know it's big for boxers. You incorporate that into all your training?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Movement. I'm big on movement. I'm big on footwork. I'm big on just being evasive, being able to not get hit and hit you as much as possible, So that's something that I really, try to do when I'm fighting and when I'm training, So last fight I kind of made him miss a lot, but I didn't make him pay as much as I should have. So, still working, but definitely jumping rope is something that I love to do for my cardio and footwork, just being able to move my feet and just making it look pretty,
Yeah, definitely. Tell us what it was like to meet Dana White. I'm going to play a clip in a second from Looking for a Fight. Can you just tell us briefly what it was like to meet him?
Oh, man, that was a huge honor, Getting to meet him, that was the part that made me nervous. Everyone's asking about the fight, and I was nervous about the fight. When I met Dana White, I was nervous a little bit, I was like, oh, I don't want to say anything that's gonna just rub them the wrong way, or that's somebody that I see on TV all the time, and somebody that I know basically has, kind of can control my future in UFC and everything like that. And that's really what made me nervous, meeting Dana White, because that was a huge honor, that was cool. But, it was just great. And that's the only thing that really made me nervous, and it was a great feeling, knowing that he saw potential in me, and he basically handpicked me and called me, up personally, and that was cool. That was like an amazing experience right there.
Yeah, and on the show, Looking for a Fight, the YouTube show, he definitely expressed his interest in you and what he liked watching you fight. I'm going to play a quick clip from the show, so the fans who haven't seen it could kind of catch a quick glimpse of it.
All right.
Randy Brown, undefeated, ends up knocking Plackett out, and now I'm interested, and I want to go down, and I want to meet Randy Brown, and I want to talk to him.
What's up, brother Dan? Pleasure. You look good, kid.
Thank you. Is this offer of a contract?
Well,
I thought it would be just like Sage Northcutt. Well, he's just going to come in, and he's going to be like,
Well, it didn't work like that for Sage, either.
Once I won, I looked around for you. I was like, where is he? I know you saw me looking around. Where is he? I was like, I got him.
A lot of bald, fat guys out there, so you probably have to look around a couple times to figure out which one was me.
Married, you're single. We're single. I'm 25 years old. Single, I got one son. My son is Ryan. Okay. I'm doing this for him. I'm doing this for him. I'm trying to take you to the next level.
I'll tell you this. I'm interested, so you'll probably hear from me. All right,
champ. Pleasure, Matt.
All right, man. I'll talk to you guys.
Now, how long did it take for you to hear from Dana White after he came into the locker room, spoke to you, told you he was interested?
Maybe about a month after.
Okay. And now, did he personally call you?
Maybe
or?
Less. Not sure.
All right. So, like, his people call you and say, hey, we want to start this, match you up with someone and get you in a fight, or?
Nah, man, he called me personally, you know. He called and, you know, he told me that he's getting ready to F up my holidays, you know. So, so yeah, I was really excited. I was actually on my way back from training. I literally just got off the mat. I was at Enzo Gracie Academy in the city. And just finished jiu-jitsu session. I was driving with my teacher, driving back to Long Island, heading to my other session. And then he called me, and it was just, you're driving. And that's the day I'm probably never, ever going to forget. You know, that was pretty cool as well. But, yeah, he called me personally, and he told me that he's 4 episodes deep, and I'm the only guy that he found so far. So that was good. That was good to know.
That's awesome. Congrats once again. I'm sure that's definitely a sweet honor to hear from the president of the UFC. Now, can you tell us what did you learn from your first UFC fight, being that you went the full fight, went decision? I believe it's your first professional fight that you didn't finish someone. Did you learn anything from being able to go 3 rounds with the opponent?
I learned something about the UFC, being in that cage, you know, but not necessarily. I learned from every one of my fights, you know, so, but that one it was something a little different that I learned, you know. I learned a little bit more, I guess, cage savvy, you know.
Okay.
What I mean by cage savvy is, like, there were times where I had that choke, I had that darts, there was a point in that fight where I had the darts on, but I'm thinking, I don't know how much time is left. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't want to sit to half guard with this choke and just start squeezing and not get it. And my arms are burnt out and I'm on the bottom, you know, and I don't know how much time is left. But actually all I had to do was look up at the clock, because the clock is right over the cage. I didn't, you know, so, because when I told Sensei about that, he was kind of just like, why don't you just look up at the clock? And I'm like, oh, you're right. You're right. All I had to do was look up. You know, I would have known how much time was left. And actually it was about a minute, you know, about exactly a minute left, and it's a minute I can definitely sit, you know, and just squeeze for a minute, you know what I mean? So that's I figured that's one little thing, you know. Another thing that I learned is that usually if I have someone hurt, I kind of take my time, you know, but I guess UFC and all that's the only thing that really maybe bothers me a little bit, you know. Just I hurt him and I'm like, oh snap, I gotta finish him, and I start going crazy, and then next thing you know I'm grappling, I'm like, how do I end up here? You know what I mean? So, just to take my time, you know, because usually I do. But just to, no matter where we are, what it is, it's still a fight. It's the same thing. I just need to just stay relaxed and just do what I do, you know?
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. That's some good pointers. That's awesome. Now, a question, like, Mickey Gall came from the same episode as you. He was fighting in Philadelphia. If he were to lose to... I'm not sure if you know who you're fighting next or anything, if that's lined up. But I'm curious if he were to lose against CM Punk in his fight, would CM Punk be someone you would want to fight next?
absolutely. You know, who doesn't want to fight CM Punk? Everybody wants to fight that dude. you know, no one. They didn't really give me anybody. You know, but listen, man. Like I always say, you know, I'm sitting in the dark, sharpening my blade, and I'm ready, man. I'm ready for whoever. Whoever they decide to put against me, you know, I'm just whoever comes out that darkness, you know, I'm going to be prepared. So I'm just chilling right now, you know, just chilling and just enjoying the victory and just putting in my work and staying sharp, staying fluid, staying, you know, clean and pretty, and just hanging out. But I tell you what, if I get CM Punk, that would be a great opportunity, and I would love that fight, you know. And
awesome.
It doesn't matter, you know. I don't think they would match me up with him, but. If they did, you know, that would be an honor, and I'd love to put on a show for everyone.
Yeah, I forget you are 7-0, and you have quite a bit more experience than CM Punk or Phil Brooks. Now, are you as much of like a fan of like UFC or MMA as you are? Do you pay attention, watch fights and stuff? Because the other night your weight class just fought Johnny Hendricks, the number one contender, versus Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. In a main event, do you watch as much as you train or practice? An avid fan?
Yeah, definitely, especially when my weight class is involved. Sure.
All right. And what were your thoughts the other night of the fight with Johnny Hendricks and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson? Thoughts on that fight? Were you as shocked or impressed by Wonderboy?
I always thought he had decent stand-up. I always thought his stand-up was, you know, really good. And, you know, unorthodox side kicks, stuff like that, you know, kind of incorporates the traditional martial arts, you know. And that guys like that are always dangerous, you know, people. He's an actual martial artist, you know, not just a competitor. And that I feel like, you know, people like that are very dangerous, you know. So, you know, I wasn't surprised. You know, this thing, it could go, anything could happen. You know, I'm not surprised when anything happens. Honestly, Johnny Hendricks, I never really see him use his wrestling too much. I know he's a great wrestler. I never really see him use it too much. You know, he kind of stands up and strikes with people. But, you know, if he went and out-wrestled him, I wouldn't be surprised. And if Johnny Hendricks, like, he got knocked out, I wasn't surprised either. You know, anything could happen. So, not really too surprised.
All right. I'm a big wrestling guy. I wrestled in college. I was actually kind of shocked that he didn't try to wrestle him more, close the distance. But when you watch the fighters, especially in your weight class, you like analyze them, pick them apart, kind of, oh, I see where they're making mistakes, or just kind of keep it in mind for in case if you ever were to fight someone.
Not really. You know, when I look at them, I kind of just say, sometimes I see, you know, what I always say to myself what I would do to beat that person, you know, and then I just kind of just carry on and watch and enjoy the fight. But, man, I know what I can do, you know, and I know, like I said, when I go in there, I'm a martial artist, you know, and I'm looking to apply martial arts when I fight. You know, I'm not really looking to, you know, like a specific game plan or like, you know, because it's not, I don't know, I look at fighting a lot differently from a lot of people. I kind of realize that, you know. For me, it's just I'm gonna apply my techniques, and if I apply my techniques that the way my teacher taught me, no matter who it is, they shouldn't be standing in front of me after I do my technique. It's as simple as that, you know. So, but yeah.
All right.
I don't really look at it and go too in depth. I don't overthink things, man. You know, I'm not an overthinker.
Okay.
I just do what I do.
Gotcha. So you're like you're saying you don't look at it the same way. I know a lot of people do have like big game plans, and they want to go in, kind of strike a little, maybe go for a takedown and bring it to the ground, or keep it standing, avoid the takedown. You really just kind of go with the flow, go in there, just let it happen?
Not necessarily. You know, I have a plan, you know, but I'm not, you know, I'm ready for whatever. You know, I have a plan B, plan A, plan C, you know, whatever. But I'm not really, I don't really stick to one game, because if that game plan doesn't work, then you're just sitting there like, oh, snap, and everything goes out the window. What I do is, you know, at Budokan, I work on my skill. You know, I work on being a skilled fighter, work on my martial arts, work on being effective any and anywhere, you know, at any time. You know, I'm looking to inflict pain and finish the fight no matter where I'm at. If I'm on my back, I'm looking to end the fight. If I'm standing up with you, I'm looking to end the fight. If I take you down, I'm not looking to just hold you down. I'm looking to end the fight. So that's pretty much what it is, you know. That's how I look at it.
Awesome. All right. Well, what makes you a unique fighter? Is there anything that you feel personally that separates you from other fighters? Is it mentally, physically, or some way you prepare for a fight? What makes you a unique fighter?
I would say my mind. My mind, you know, and just being a martial artist, you know, and just understanding, you know, understanding combat, you know, in the way it is, and not really overthinking it, you know. Having an empty mind when I go in there to fight, I'm not attached to anything, you know. My mind is empty, and I'm looking to adjust and execute. That's it, you know.
Awesome. Now, do you is there anything about you that fans don't know that you might want them to know? Like anything you do, like your personal time or why you train, anything you want the fans to know that they don't already know?
Well, I'm absolutely obsessed with combat, so there's not really much that I do other than combat. But I play basketball from time to time. But it's funny, I actually use that, you know, as like cross training for my fighting, you know, my footwork and all that. But you know, that's pretty much it. I play basketball. You can ask Andre Harrison about that.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. All right. That's actually, to be honest, I haven't heard too much of like MMA fighters talking about crossover training from I guess an American major sport like basketball to MMA or anything like that. So that's pretty interesting. How can fans find you on social media if they want to look you up?
You can find me on I'm super active on Instagram. Instagram is where I'm at. Instagram all the time. You know, at touchandgo_. That's touch the letter N G O _. That's the same thing for Twitter. You can friend me on Facebook. I accept everybody. You know, so yeah. I'm here. If people can ask me questions, I always reply to everybody. And around.
Awesome. One last question. How did it feel to fight so close to home in Newark for your first fight? Did you have many friends and family come to watch you?
Man, the support was tremendous. And, again, I really appreciate that from everybody. You know, everybody listening, you know, I appreciate it. You know, that was just great. That was the greatest feeling ever. It was so much support, even down to the commission, you know. And the commission are, like, some of the angriest people I've ever met in my life. But, you know. Everyone was rooting for me, man. The commission, they were happy to see me in the UFC. You know, friends, family, people that never been to any of my fights were out there. You know, my whole team, the whole Budokan family, you know, all Hensel Gracie family, everybody, man. Everybody who ordered Fight Pass, people in Jamaica, you know, family in Jamaica, everybody, man. It was just cool. People sent me so much videos of, like, you know, me during the fight. At one point, I caught, like, a throw, and then video of people going crazy, you know what I mean? So that was cool. You know, I had so much support, you know, so much support.
That's awesome. Awesome. Do you have any, before we let you go, any sponsors or anyone you would like to make mention of and kind of throw their name out there?
Yeah, I want to shout out Innerskin Compressions. You know, those guys always help me out with everything. You know, Mixology, Shop Mixology, those guys over there. That's pretty much it. It's so much. I can't even remember everybody right now, but everybody, man, everybody, my sponsors, my coaches, management team, Battle Squad management, you know, my head instructor, Sensei Nardu, everybody, man, everybody, you know, all my sponsors, appreciate you.
Awesome. Well, Randy, Rude Boy Brown, I appreciate you taking your time coming on and talking with us. Looking forward to your next fight. You're definitely an exciting fighter. Looking forward to big things from you in the UFC. Pleasure having you on, and good luck in the future.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right. Take care, Randy. Right. Thank you.
All right. Take care, man. No problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Randy the Rude Boy Brown from the UFC. Won his debut fight in Newark, New Jersey. Pleasure to Randy. Once again, thank you for coming on. It was awesome having you on, answering our questions. Ladies and gentlemen, join us back next Monday, the 15th, day after Valentine's Day. For those of you who have forgot, it's on Sunday. Be sure to get your ladies flowers, chocolate, or whatever strange things they might enjoy. But join us at 7 p.m. Monday evening, and we should have some pretty good guests. Still waiting to hear from them and confirm that they're going to come on, but we usually have some pretty good guests on here, so be sure to tune in live at 7 p.m. Monday evening and 15th of February. So see you then, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, and you have a lovely evening.
Whether you like it or not, okay? You want to be a hero? You want a medal, or are you a coward? Knock off the hippie shit, strap on a helmet, start shooting. This is Malibu, Emily. I want you to storm that beach like it's fucking Normandy.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
Danny, I just figured out that if I switch to Metro PCS, I get two Samsung Galaxy phones free.
Cool, Dad.
And I could be a super dad with two free Samsung Galaxy phones and call myself Double Galaxy Man.
Or you could give the second phone to your sidekick.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
That's right. Two free Samsung Galaxy On 5 smartphones are all yours when you switch to Metro PCS. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.